Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to start this morning in Matthew 21. And we're going to talk about, you know, today is Palm Sunday. Maybe you didn't even realize that. If you're like me, you know, sometimes you don't remember the holidays, all of them. And you know, I remember Christmas and Thanksgiving and have to be reminded about some of the others. But this is a special time, really. This is a time, and if you don't know what Palm Sunday is, it's the time. It's we commemorate the time that Jesus rode triumphantly into Jerusalem, and he's riding in there because it's going to be the week of his passion when he's going to be crucified and then resurrected, praise the Lord. But he's riding into Jerusalem for that event. So, and he knows why he's going there, and he's doing it for us. Amen. Thank God for that. And so I wanted to talk to you. The title of the message this morning is How Do You Receive Him? So it's a question, how do you receive him? And I want to look at that and see what the Bible has to say. Look in Matthew 21, and we're not going to read the whole of this account, but I want to read some verses about it, his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Let's just let's start with verse 8. The Bible says, and a very great multitude. So this wasn't just a little group of people. This was a very great multitude. Now, what is a very great multitude? You know, there's such thing as a multitude, and there's a great multitude, then there's a very great multitude, which just means there were thousands upon thousands of people here. So, you know, maybe our pictures that we have show maybe a few people, half a, you know, a dozen people, two dozen, you know, three dozen, but it says a very, how many know 3 dozen isn't a very great multitude, is it? You know, sometimes I'll see the news, you know, how they exaggerate things and stuff, and they'll talk about there's this protest going on downtown, and you get a picture of it, and there's like 6 or 8 people. You know what I'm saying? There's, you know, in our tri-state area, there's 300 and some thousand people live in the area, and so we got 6 or 8 people, and this is supposed to be a life-shattering event that we're reporting about. You know what I mean? But this is no exaggeration here. This was a very great multitude. There were thousands upon thousands of people watching Jesus ride into Jerusalem. And it says, a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from trees, and they strawed them in the way. In other words, they're treating Jesus just like he is, as royalty. They're making a big deal out of this, right? And the multitude that went before him and followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And it says, and when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And, you know, Jerusalem was a big city for the day. But it says the whole city was moved. The word move is just like, it means like an earthquake. In other words, the place was rocking. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Because Jesus was coming into town. Right. Yeah. Amen. Right. How many know he comes to visit us on Sunday mornings? Yes. The place should be rocking. Yes. Amen. Amen. We ought to be rocking, man. What do you mean by rocking? I mean, you know, we're making some noise. Praise the Lord. Amen. And it says, well, let's just jump down here to verse 15. It says, and when the chief priests, the religious people of the day, and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. They were, how many know, religious people still get upset when we praise the Lord? Yes. Right? You know, we got people, there's people that think that we're crazy because we praise the Lord. You know, and there's some of you, well, I don't know if I want to bring my relatives to our church because they might speak in tongues or somebody might, you know, shout or take a lap and all that and everything. You know, you just never know. And how many know that's the way it's going to be in heaven. So don't be praying them into heaven either then if they can't handle that. Because if you, it's kind of like David, you know, when he danced before the Lord with all of his might, and his wife got upset over it because he's the king, he's supposed to be dignified. And it says he danced. What he did was he took off his kingly garments. He wasn't naked, but he took off his kingly garments and thought, because he's like, I'm not going to worship a king with my kingly garments on. So he took those off, became lowly, and started worshiping the Lord. And his wife saw it through the window. And when he got home, she said, you know, didn't the king look glorious today? I mean, she started getting on to him. And, you know, that's the way religious people are. But just go ahead and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, he was at a meeting years ago, Phyllis and I have told you this before, but I've never forgotten. You know, sometimes there's sermons I've forgotten. Some of mine I've forgotten. Some of them probably need to be forgotten. I don't know. But there's one I never forgot. I was at a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting in 1980s, I think it was. That would have been the 80s because we hadn't been married too long. And there was a black Catholic priest speaking. But the thing about this black Catholic priest, Brother Greg, he was born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and spoke in tongues. And he got up to preach, and I'll never forget, his thing was, I got a right. I got a right to praise the Lord. And I think he hit it right. He said, some of you tonight here, you're just like Zacchaeus. You're up a tree and out on a limb. And when you're up a tree and out on a limb, you know what you should do? Praise the Lord. That's what Zacchaeus did, didn't he? And it got him saved and got him delivered. And so we have to understand that God doesn't want us praising Him because He needs His ego built up. I mean, when you're God, you don't have an ego. I mean, if you just stop giving life, everything's gone. But He's upholding all things. Amen. And so everybody should praise the Lord. Everybody. The Bible tells us who should praise the Lord. Anybody know who's supposed to praise the Lord? Everything that has breath is supposed to praise the Lord. Amen. And did you know, we don't know that the animals aren't praising the Lord, right? Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Now, so when Jesus came into the city was rocking with praise for Him. And this is how they received Him when He came in on what we call Palm Sunday, is they received Him with praise. Jesus even Himself said, the Father seeking such to worship Him. He's looking for worshipers. We need to volunteer, don't we? We need to be volunteers. What will people think? Well, you know what? I wouldn't be concerned about what people think. I'd be concerned about what God thinks. Amen. I remember when I first got saved, I got saved in a church that they praised the Lord. They weren't backward about it either. You would think that coming from my background that I lived in and coming into this kind of a church, you would have think that wouldn't have worked. Because, I grew up, rock and roll in the drug culture. And, I was a rock and roll guy to the core. I had the hair to prove it, Didn't I, Susie? She wasn't safe at the time. That was my life, listening to the old bands that, actually knew how to play music. The old bands, you listen to some of this, I don't even play it. I guess I don't even play it in stores anymore. I go into stores and I'll hear things that they're playing stuff that I'm like, they played that when I was a kid, when I was young. It's like, don't they have any new music? And so I grew up with that. You know, Led Zeppelin. Come on. You know what I mean? Lynyrd Skynyrd. They're still around. Some of these guys need to go home and play with their grandkids. But they're still around. They're still going. You know what I mean? And then I come into this church, and they're not doing any of that. You know what I'm saying? Because we talk about you got to be relevant. I'm going to tell you, the most relevant thing in church is the Spirit of God. This church had nothing relevant to offer me. Nothing. But they had some power. And that got to me. I didn't need relevancy. I needed power. I had plenty of friends that were relevant. Amen. And we were about to kill ourselves. But I stepped into a church that they praised the Lord. Amen. And you know, I can't lie. When I first time I went, it scared the heebie-jeebies out of me. But here's the point. I knew it was real. I remember after they would worship the Lord, they would praise the Lord, sometimes even dance. And I remember seeing one guy, an older gentleman to me, I imagine he was probably in his 50s, I would say, but I'm in my 20s, so he's older to me. And I remember him dancing in the Spirit. I've never seen that before. Never seen that. You would have thought that would have ran me off, but you know what? Something got inside of me called power. And I remember going home after going to church and talking to my dad, who's passed on now, and he told me, he said, oh, I know all those people at that church. He said, they're all a bunch of hypocrites. Like he knew them, you know, right. But that's what he told me. And I remember telling Dad, I said, well, that may be so, but there's this one guy, he danced and something happened. I realized something happened. Something supernatural happened. Some power was diffused. Well, that's what happens when we praise the Lord. I'm going to show you that. If we have time, I'm going to show you. The power gets released when we praise the Lord. Power gets released. And so we have to know that this isn't about building God's ego. It isn't about what people think. It's about the God's looking for people to worship Him. He's searching for such. And I'm going to volunteer. How about you? Matter of fact, I did years ago. I volunteered. I'll be one of them. Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to go with me to Psalm 65. And we have talked about this scripture for the years, but I don't think I've ever, I don't know if I've taken you to it in a long time. But I actually want to go to this scripture in Psalm 65. And I want to read a verse there. I'm not going to preach long this morning, but I hope that you get something this morning and that you will leave this service this morning and you will be a praiser of God when you leave. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're not already, which you may be already. But even if you are like I am, you'll even be more proficient at it. Hey, amen? Glory be to God. Amen. Well, I'm cool. Well, let me tell you what. Cool is relative. God is cool. Amen. Well, I just want to be dignified. You know what? Let me tell you something about that word dignified. You know what the word dignified actually means? It actually means self-possessed. So if you're dignified, you're possessed with yourself. All you got is you. On your mind. Right? And you sing songs. I am so beautiful to me. Can't you see? Then I saw my face. Now I'm a believer. I'm in love. That's an older song. Okay. Amen. I think sometimes, you know how we sing, I exalt thee. I think with God sometimes things, they exhaust me. They exhaust me. I remember we had a guy that in his ministry, he could preach, but his ministry was in song, and he was very good at it. Mike Adkins. Remember him? And I think Mike is still alive. I think he still is, as far as I know. I haven't heard anything out of his ministry. But he said, he had a song, and I think he said the Lord said it to him, said, I've done so much for my people, why won't they praise me? Well, just the fact that he redeemed us from hell is enough to shout about for a long, long time. You know, well, I didn't get my raise. I was believing for a raise. Well, thank God you're still eating. Amen. Amen. I look around. I don't see anybody that's in any immediate need. Are you following me? See, so God's been good to us, hasn't he? And so how many know we should just praise him just because? If nothing else, just because he's God. Amen. But yeah, Mike's ministry is a good ministry. He, like I said, I have no idea where he's at or what he's doing now, but he was around for a number of years in the charismatic early Word of Faith days and travel and sing. And he said, the Lord said that to him, why won't they praise me? I've done so much for them. Right. Amen. Look at Psalm 65. Go there. And I want to just read, I just want to read part of a verse there. I don't even need to read the whole verse. Psalm 65, verse 1 says, praise awaits for you, O God, in Zion. Now, Zion, of course, in the Old Testament, they had Mount Zion, which we'll talk about here maybe in just a little bit. They had Mount Zion, but how many know that in the New Testament, Hebrews 12 tells us you and I, as born-again believers, are come unto Mount Zion. We're the New Testament Mount Zion. Amen. And so we're the church of the living God. Amen. So we're Mount Zion. So what should be awaiting God when he comes into Zion? Praise should be waiting for him, shouldn't it? Approximately, and I haven't counted these, but at least 250 times we're instructed in the Bible to praise the Lord. That's a lot. What if I gave you a book and said, now it's going to tell you to do this one thing 250 times? You'd think that's what the book's about. But it's all throughout the Bible about praising God. And many, many times people are delivered when they praise the Lord. Amen. God, the Bible says, God inhabits the praises of his people. Praise awaits for him in Zion. So when God shows up in Zion, we're Zion this morning, something should be waiting for him. He said, boy, I can't wait to church to get a donut. Well, I like donuts. But how many know God's not coming for a donut? He's coming for something else. I go to church there because they have good coffee. You're deep. You're so deep. God love you. Amen. But how many know God comes to church? He doesn't come for church. He doesn't come to church for the fellow. Let me say this. He doesn't come to church for the coffee. He didn't come to church for the donuts. Nothing wrong with any of that. We do sometimes. But that shouldn't be our only reason. I come to church because I just want to talk to all my friends. Well, great you got friends at church. How many of you ought to come to church to praise the Lord? You ought to come to church to praise the Lord. All that other stuff just, you know. You know what I'm saying? I go to Texas Roadhouse every now and then. You know why I go? For the steak. Mia said the rose. Now I understand why she's saying that, because they are a great benefit. But I go there for the steak. Amen. All the things that we get in church, all this, the friendships, the fellowship with one another, and all of that, that stuff is wonderful, and it's a part of it, but the main reason is we come together to praise the Lord. Amen. And to hear his word, right? Yeah. You say, why do we do the praise and worship at the first? Why don't we do it at the end? Well, we could if God directed us to do it that way. But one of the reasons we do that is because he inhabits praises. We say, well, God's everywhere. Well, I know that, but I'll tell you what, he's not manifestation everywhere. His power isn't. But he waits for it in Zion. Now, interesting thing, and I studied this word out. I first heard someone preach this, Brother Eddie preached this years ago, and I studied the word out. And the word there where it says, praise awaits for you, O God in Zion, it also means it's silent. It's silently waiting. In other words, what it gives you the picture that you know, you're just on the edge of your seat waiting for the opportunity to spring forth and praise God. I mean, that's the way we should be when we come to church. We just wait. Just soon as Jill just touches the keyboard, we're off. We're off. Soon as they sing the first verse, we're off. It shouldn't be, as the saints come dragging in, as the saints come dragging in, how I want to be in that number. No, we ought to come rejoicing. A lady, she's probably passed on, but she was alive some years ago, was actually in a meeting. There was an English preacher by the name of Smith Wigglesworth. Many of you heard of him. You can Google him, and it'll tell you something about him online. Wigglesworth was greatly used of God. There's different variations of his ministry and what all happened, but just online, if you Google online, just AI will tell you that in his ministry, 14 people were raised from the dead. That's not too shabby of a ministry, all right? If you know his history, we used to have a CD series by Pastor Stormont, George Stormont, who traveled with Wigglesworth for a while in his ministry, and he told stories about him, and they were true stories, okay? The guy was an English pastor, and Wigglesworth was from England. But Wigglesworth, he saw all kinds of miracles and things and all. But this lady said, I was actually in one of his services one time. She says, I've never been in anything. Because Wigglesworth lived till 1948. So we have people in this. Well, I don't know. Maybe we don't have anybody in here that was alive at 48. Okay, never mind. I'm not going to ask that question. but we got some that was mighty close. We got some mighty close, amen. So she Wigglesworth passed on in 48. So she said, I was actually in one of his services. I've never seen anything like it in my life. She said, the service started, and I think if I remember, it was kind of dead. And Wigglesworth got up, and he said, everybody get up, go back outside. Come in the church again. He said, only this time when you come in praising the Lord. So he made everybody leave the building, all come back in praising the Lord. And she said, you could not believe the power that was present. She said, I've never seen anything like it in my life. Well, how many of the Bible tells us that, doesn't it? Enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Amen. So we got scripture for that. Come in ready to praise him. Praise, as God said, praise. The Bible says praise should await God in Zion. Amen. It should be waiting for him. Now, find Acts. I'm looking at some scripture this morning on purpose because I want to show you some things because we have churches that are different. We have churches that are really rigid and formal. And if anybody said praise the Lord, they'd all pass out. And we've got some that are bouncing off the wall. Well, what's right? What's right? Well, how many of the Bible's right? Yeah. The Bible's right. Look at Acts. I remember a guy, he said, after one of his services, somebody came up to him and said, now where, because we said we had a wild service. He said, where do you find that kind of service in the New Testament? He said, I looked back at him and said, where do you find the services we've been having in the New Testament? These dead things, they're not in there. Paul had to get on the Corinthians because they were getting too crazy with some things. Amen. What if we get too much wildfire? Oh, there's always enough wet blankets to put it out. Come on, everybody, lighten up today. Look at this, verse X. Did I tell you go to Acts 15? Go to Acts 15. Now, I'm going to show you something about what type of worship does God want out of our church. Now, He loves everybody. How many know that? You know, Brother Hagin said something years ago I never forgot. He said, God will meet you at the level of truth that you're walking in. He'll meet you there. That doesn't mean there's not more truth. He'll just meet you at what you're walking in. And He'll bless you as much as He can. Because He's into blessing people. But wouldn't it be good if we walked in the fullness of His will? How much blessing would we have? Oh, it'd be unlimited, right? See, the Bible talks about He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, right? So He's able to do a lot more than what we're seeing Him do. But I mean, we have to respond to Him. And responding to Him is doing what He says to do, right? Remember that in the Old Testament, the prophet Samuel was just a little guy. They brought him to the temple. And his mother dedicated him to the temple. She couldn't have children, and she said, Lord, if you just let me have a son, I'll dedicate him to you. I'll lend him to you, the King James says. So after he was weaned, she took him and took him to the temple and left him there with the priest. I'm not quite sure what he thought about it, but this is what happened. How would you like that to happen? Somehow I'm dropping this kid off today. I told the Lord I would. That's what happened. Now, he's grown now some, but he's still a young guy. And the Lord spoke to him one night and said, Samuel, Samuel. Well, he thought it was Eli. He ran in and said, what do you want? What do you want? And Eli said, I didn't talk to you. Go lie down. Well, it happened a second time. Samuel, Samuel. And he ran back in there and said, what did you want? He said, I didn't talk to you. I didn't say anything. You go lie down. He's probably thinking, man, who gave this kid Pepsi before bed? It happened a third time, and he runs in there and he says, you did call for me. He said, I didn't call for you. Go back. He said, go back and lie down. He realized the Lord must be talking to him. He says, look, he says, when you hear that, Samuel, Samuel, when the Lord speaks, you must say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. You got to respond to Him. Or He's not going any farther. You got to respond. And so the next time he heard that, he said, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And then the Lord began to talk to him. But see, it's the same way in our lives. If we don't respond to the Lord, He's not going any farther in our lives. You know, I don't know about you. I need His help. Amen. You know, not just when I'm in trouble. I need it every day. One of our friends, Phyllis may remember, I was trying to think of it this morning, was talking about one of their grandkids or something was praying for God to help them. Do you remember that story? Anyway, one of the grandkids was asking for God to help them, and they got an answer. No, I think that was Deanne talking about Rose. That was Deanne talking about Rose. Deanne. Well, okay, it was one of Deanne, which isn't one of our grandkids, by the way. That's right, it was Wednesday night. I was thinking it was one of her friends. Anyway, I know the stories. I just don't know where they originate from sometimes. So anyway, that's why we work together here. Deanne was talking about Rose, and Rose was praying for help, right? What was she wanting?
She needed to find something.
She needed to find something, and she found it, and then she told the Lord, we don't need your help any longer. We got it. I mean, that's cute, but the reality is we need God's help all the time, you know. It's like a guy was falling down on the barn, you know. He's falling down, sliding down. He's going, help, Lord, help, Lord. And his overalls catch on a nail and it stops. He says, I can take it from here. I mean, we don't want just God's help when we're in trouble because we never know when trouble's coming, right? We need His help all the time, amen, and help us not to get in trouble, amen. So we understand that praise, it's not this deal where we're trying to impress God or God needs it. It releases power in our lives. Look at this, and I wanted to show you this because I thought it was important to say this morning. Look at this in Acts chapter 15, and let me see where I want to go. Verse 13, please. Acts 15, 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, listen to me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written." Now, listen to what he's saying here. "After this, I will return and will build again." This is really something we need to catch. "We'll build again the tabernacle of David." Mm-hmm. Not the tabernacle of Moses. "Which has fallen down, and I'll build the ruins of it thereof, and I will set it up again, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things." So the early church, literally they're talking about the Gentiles being included in salvation. That's what this discussion is about. And Peter, you know, he tells them, "Look, you know, the Gentiles got saved when I went to preach to them. They got baptized in the Holy Spirit. So, you know, how can we deny them if God's accepted them?" Yeah. And so they're having this discussion what they should do about it and all that. And then James says, "Wait a minute, the Bible tells us that God said he's going to rebuild the tabernacle of David." It didn't say he's going to rebuild the tabernacle of Moses. Now, there was a huge difference between those two tabernacles. The tabernacle of Moses had form and ritual and fear, didn't it? Because if you just marched in there any old way, you didn't march out. They carried you out. You died. Right? You went into that. If anybody just, I don't care what Moses says. I don't care what Aaron says. I'm going to go into Holy of Holies today. Well, go help yourself. But you know what? You're not coming out on your own. We're going to drag you out because you're going to die. But what David did was he took the ark after the Philistines had captured it. The Philistines thought it was a good idea to take the Ark of the Covenant. They thought, "It's a great idea. This is helping Israel win battles, and we're going to take it." And so they stole it, and they took it to their city, and they all got hemorrhoids. You know, in the Bible, the King James calls them emrods, hemorrhoids. And they decided, "Let's send that thing back." So they send it back, right? Well, eventually David gets it and he brings it to Mount Zion. We are Zion, remember? He brings it to Mount Zion. And he doesn't build this elaborate thing like Moses had. He puts up a tent. He sets the Ark of the Covenant right out there in the open. And they are worshiping God 24/7 around the Ark of the Covenant. They're not offering animal sacrifices. They're offering sacrifices of praise and joy and rejoicing. Amen. Now, literally, that would have killed you in the tabernacle of Moses. But what happened? David was a prophet, the Bible says. Calls him a prophet in the book of Acts. He literally got over into, he saw into that New Testament dispensation of the type of worship that God really wanted out of his people. And he set it up. And so he's actually operating on New Testament principles in the Old Testament. And when James quotes this, he says, "This is what God talked about. He's going to rebuild that tabernacle of David." So what does God want out of our churches today? Does he want legalism? Does he want formalism? Ritualism? Is that what he wants? That's not what he wants. He wants vibrant, live, heartfelt praise in spirit and in truth. "For the Father seeketh such to worship him." See, even that woman at the well said to Jesus, said, you all worship at some, you know, at Jerusalem. We worship in this mountain. You guys worship at Jerusalem. Jesus said, "I'm going to tell you, there's a time coming, and it now is, when we're neither going to worship at this mountain nor at Jerusalem. Because why? Worship's not going to be in a place anymore. We now are the temples of the Holy Ghost. God comes to our temple expecting praise, expecting worship, expecting us to bless Him. Hallelujah. So what's right? I'm going to tell you what's right. People may not agree with it, but you go into churches that have, and I'm not knocking them. God bless them. Anybody's doing anything for Jesus, I'm for you. You can judge things without judging people. I can tell you things are wrong in your life without judging you. You may be a great person, a wonderful person, but you can be doing things that's going to hurt you. Right? See, just think about it. If you come to my house and you stay with me for a week and all you see me do all week long is eat Hostess Ho-Ho's and drink Dr. Pepper. And you say, Pastor, that's not good for you. You're judging me. Don't judge me. No, you're not judging me. I may still be the sweet, nice, lovable fuzzball I am. But I'm doing something that's not good for me. All right, so I'm not judging these churches. God bless them. But that's not what God's looking for. They'll look at people like us and think, I'm backtrack idiots. But the truth is, we're more in line with what God wants. Now, how do I know? I don't mean that arrogantly, because I read His Bible. They shouted. They rejoiced. They danced. They leapt. They had joy. Amen. So there's something here we need to see. Amen. All right. Can you handle one more? I know I wasn't going to go long this morning, but and I haven't yet. But you, if you keep asking, I will. Look with me. You're not beating the Baptist to the lunch, to the buffet anyway, so forget it. Go with me. I'm just trying to see what. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Let's close here. Luke 24. Is this helping anybody today? All right, Luke 24. Let's go there. Luke 24. And I'm going to close with this. Luke 24. And verse 50. Luke 24, 50. It's like one guy said his father was a pastor. And he said, I've seen this before too. It's like, I remember when my dad, when he was alive, he didn't go to church. But occasionally he'd come to our church. And it just seemed like it never failed. Every service he came was a knockdown, drag out Holy Ghost service. Seemed like it never failed. It's like, if you want to have a good service, just get my dad to come. Sister Mary's going to dance and fall out in the spirit. Everything's going to happen on the day at night he comes, you know. People. But, you know, God is smart enough to know what people need. They need the power of God. Amen. Amen. And that's what I got when I went there, the power of God. Amen. Now, in Luke chapter 24, verse 50, it's talking about Jesus and his disciples. And it said, he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they returned, they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually, everybody say continually, in the temple, praising and blessing God. Now, I was teaching on this, out of this one time, and the Lord had me preach this message, and I never had thought of it. He said the reason the early church had continual victory is they were continually praising. Continually praising. And then you think about Paul and Silas. Remember, Paul and Silas were the city of Philippi, and they cast the demon out of that one girl that told fortunes. And now her owner, she was a slave girl, and they couldn't make any more money off her because she couldn't tell fortunes any longer. So they arrested Paul and Silas and threw them. Now listen to this. They didn't just put them in prison. They put them in the inner prison. I mean, the farthest from the walls. They're treating these guys like they are dangerous. It's a maximum security for these guys. Now, I want you to think about it. The Bible says it was at midnight. Their backs were beaten. And how many know they probably didn't feed them, you know, steak and baked potato before they put them in prison. They're hungry. Their backs are beaten. It's midnight. Some of you can't make it till midnight. No names, but their initials are Pastor Chuck. Midnight. Have you know sometimes some people are grumpy at midnight. Right? Your back is beat. That'd make you grumpy. They haven't fed you in hours. That'd make you grumpy. You ever heard of hangry? But the Bible says at midnight, they prayed. But now listen now, this is important. They prayed and. Everybody say and. They didn't just pray, but they prayed and sang praises unto God. And they weren't like real quiet about them because they said the prisoners heard them. Actually, they were listening to them. And God began to tap his foot. And the jail began to shake. And it says the foundations of the jail were shaken. I love this. I got this highlighted in my Bible circled. The foundations were shaken. Everyone's bands, the foundations were shaken. The bands were loose. Everyone's bands were loose. I'm gonna read it because I'm missing something here. There's another thing that it says, but it won't take me long to find. Bands were shaken. Foundations were shaken. Doors were open. That was it. Doors were open, and bands were loose. How many need some foundations shaken? How many need some doors open? How many need some bands loose? Do what they did, right? I have a book at home. It's written by, she was a medical doctor. Her name was Lillian B. Yeomans. She lived in the 1900s. Of course, I did too. But she lived in the 1900s. And she was a medical doctor, Miss Yeomans was. But she got saved and got called to preach. And so she began her ministry, as a preacher. And she had all kinds of stories. But one of her stories that I really liked out of this book was she talked about how all different kinds of cures that they had to try to cure things. And we're talking about, yeah, I was alive in the 1900s, but she was in like the early 1900s. So, but she talked about some of the cures they had, of trying to cure different things. And she was talking about one cure they had was you went over to, I think it was Austria, and they put you up in this room without much heat in it, matter of fact, she was talking about it was so cold that of the mornings you go to wash your face, you have to break the skim of ice off of it, and then you get up like 4 a.m. or something like that, and then you marched out into the cold to go get a breakfast, and you had to march for miles on this real messed up road. And she said she thought that was supposed to shake your liver up and help your liver somehow. And said when you got there, all you had was like one black roe or something. It wasn't like steak and eggs. It wasn't Cracker Barrel, baby. And said then they would give you, a drink of sulfur water that smelled like matches and rotten eggs. And it was supposed to help your constitution. It's like she said, I don't know whether, how much it did. I don't knock anything. Then she said there was another cure that they had. It was called the grape cure, and all you did was eat grapes. That's all you ate is grapes. I like grapes, but that's not all I want to eat. And then another one was the hot mud cure. No, you didn't eat the hot mud. You rolled around in it. And it was supposed to help your body and all. But she said, I don't knock anything. If it helps somebody, that's great. She said, but I found a sure cure. It's called the praise cure. It's got a whole section in this book about the praise cure. And then she tells this story about a lady, a missionary from China, that got smallpox. And smallpox in those days was deadly. It would either kill you or leave you disfigured for life. And so she had smallpox, and they were just like, well, there's not really much hope for her. But she just she said this was missionary from China. She said during the night she had a vision from God, and she said in this vision she said I saw these balancing scales. You know what I'm talking about with the baskets and all. She said one basket had in it testing, the other one had praise. And she said the praise basket was up here and the testing basket was down there. And the Lord said, your testing in your life outweighs your praise. Yeah. Isn't that good? Yeah. He said, you need to change that. So she spent all night praising the Lord. She said she was so radical about it, they thought, well, she's losing her mind, you know, because people that praise the Lord have lost their mind. How many know you need to lose your mind sometimes and pick up the mind of Christ? And she said after about morning, she said she had another vision and that scale flipped and the praise is now, the testing is now up here and the praise is down here. She's praised God all night. And she said every pox on her body disappeared. Amen. Every one of them. Amen. She was totally healed. And the Lord showed her, said, your testing's outweighing your praise in your life. You're focused too much on your testing and not enough on your praise. Well, that's what happened in Acts 16 with Paul and Silas. They were tested, but they focused on praise, and they got out. Hallelujah. Now listen, I've seen that. I'm going to let you go, but I could stay here for another hour and talk to you about these things. But I've seen that where people praise their way out of problems. They praise their way out of trouble. It's throughout the Bible, if you want to be honest. Israel was in so much trouble one time, you know, they had five armies coming against them, and Jehoshaphat said, let's put the praise team out front. Let's let them go out front, you know, and they did, and they won that battle. Yeah. Amen. So what am I saying to you? Well, here's the message we talked about this morning. How do you receive him? How do you receive him? Do you receive him like they did when he came in on Palm Sunday and make a big deal out of it? He's a big deal in your life. Right? Or do you say, oh, well, it's just Jesus. It's just church. See, we had fun with the greeters this morning. When our granddaughters came in, they were just, you know, all over them. And it's like, well, what about us? It's like, Beth, I remember you saying this. You may not remember this, but I remember Beth one time. Her kids were just, they were all over Nathan. She goes, what am I, chopped liver? It's like, how many know? I don't remember that day or not, Beth, but I do. It was funny. What am I, chopped liver? Well, how many know Jesus? We ought to make a big deal out of him. And well, then they hugged us, and oh, we're good. Nathan said, I'm good to see you, Pastor. I love to see you. It's like, well, anyway. But you know what I'm saying? What happened? See, they see us every Sunday. You know what I'm saying. So, but they hadn't seen him in a long time. So that was normal. That was natural. But I mean, we ought to treat Jesus like that every time we come to his house. Amen. It's not like, oh, well, it's just the Lord. No, it ought to be a big deal. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.